The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time for Star Power Hour, brought to you by ForTalent.com. We'll cover what's hot in the arts and entertainment industry. Our guests will talk about projects they're currently working on and what they're about to do next. You don't want to miss today's show. Now, here is your host, James Barber.
Hey guys, this is James Barber. Welcome to the Star Power Hour here on VoiceAmerica.com's Empowerment Channel. It is Thursday. I have no idea what date it is. It's actually Wednesday. We're recording earlier. As you know, we have three cameras. Look, one, two, three. I'm so excited. This is going to be amazing. I have no idea what date it is. It's some day in February. And no, it's the 13th. You know why? Because Friday is Valentine's Day, the 14th. And my Valentine has come here as my guest. No, my Valentine was here last week, my wife. I have the amazing, I got to tell you, I'm like blown away that that he's agreed to come here. Trevor Bell. Trevor Bell is a major league pitcher. And, you know, he's very good because he can actually pour the milk really well. We're not talking pitcher. I'm talking pitcher.
Exactly.
And the reason I have him on is because what people don't know is that he's actually a trained opera singer. And
I just want to say hello, everybody.
Yeah.
It's great to be here. James, thanks for having me.
You're welcome, man.
We're not talking about baseball. We're talking about opera singing.
Yeah. So how did you get into opera? Was it? I heard it. Your mom and dad said
School of Juilliard.
Really?
Yeah.
The School of Juilliard. Yeah, I love it.
Went there. Uh-huh. Graduated with flying colors.
Uh-huh.
And just took off from there.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting segue because, you know, you've done roles like Don Giovanni. You've done roles.
Right. I did a score with Beethoven.
Right. Before he died.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, way back when. You look great, man.
Thanks.
No, you know, the segue about the entertainment world, obviously, you know, we'll talk about later because there is a connection with the world of entertainment and Trevor's family. But what I'm doing with the Star Power Hour and being, you have never been on, I've talked to you about coming on as a guest for a while.
Yeah.
But we're crossing all boundaries. It's not just entertainment. Sports is entertainment, but it's literally bringing in opinion leaders and stars and the top people in the world in terms of what they do. You know, we're going to have on some great political leaders and people that are community leaders that are doing change as well. So having you on is, you know, I've been thinking about it for a while and it's a no-brainer and I'm glad you're here. So,
well, I appreciate you thinking of me for being on that type of program and it means a lot.
Well, yeah, dude, yeah. I remember the first time
We're
I saw you
really
play.
Sentimental right now.
We are. I'm going to hold his hand under the table. You can't see it. You guys really can't see it, but see now he has his hands up there?
Yeah.
Okay, it's because
I don't know where to put them.
Just keep them there.
Now I'm nervous.
We'll do a high five. Come on. There we go. Wow, I high-fived. And you're a righty, so I didn't really hurt you. Because sometimes I can get really powerful.
I noticed that. It was like hitting a brick wall.
Yeah, thanks.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah, because I'm tough like that. I, you know, hang out with pro athletes sometimes.
Yeah, just real pro jockey. You know?
Exactly. So let me ask you, you grew up in L.A., right?
Yeah, born and raised.
And you played ball here?
Yes.
And where did you start your ball?
I started in Sherman Oaks at a little park.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what park it was.
Was it the park with the little turtle thing?
Probably.
That's the one over like Beeman.
Yeah, the main park that's in Sherman Oaks. Right. Yeah, I think it might be Beeman or something like that. I was four, and I couldn't play until I was five. And I started crying every single night to my mom and begging her for a bat and a ball.
Really?
And she ended up getting me in the league when I was four.
Are you
that's
serious?
Where I started, yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember we were hanging out one Thanksgiving, and when my oldest daughter was, I don't know, probably three, there were those little apples You remember this day?
Yes.
And they're,
yes.
They weren't real apples. They were like decorative apples.
Yeah.
And my daughter is playing catch with you, and you're teaching her how to throw. And I'm sitting there going, my God, my daughter's being taught how to throw an apple with plastic apples. By a major league pitcher. Yeah. And she can hurl that thing. So that brought me back with, you know, you being the age you were. So how did it progress from there? You obviously, it just bit you, and you were in it.
It was all I knew. It was all I thought about. I thought about it day and night. I slept with my glove underneath my pillow.
Right.
My baseball stuff was more important to me than anything in the world. And it just took off. And it was just something that was inherently within me.
Right.
To play baseball. I was good at it from a young age, and I never stopped playing.
That's amazing. And then you obviously played in school, and you played in high school, right?
Yes, four years.
What school was that?
Crescenta Valley High School in La Crescenta.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, drawing parallels to my industry is that, you know, when you're getting into theater, getting into performance, when you're in high school, there are, you know, there's training, there's this, there's that, but always sports tended to be the thing that people looked at because it was, I think, a much more broad spectrum. People playing baseball, people playing football. I played both baseball and football in high school.
Right.
But for me, I excelled in the individual sports like tennis because, mm-hmm. Traveling and being away from people, being away from the teams, I wasn't able to practice all the time. I was a first baseman. I was a right-handed first baseman,
awesome.
Which was awkward, you know, but I did it because I'm so gargantuanly tall.
Yeah. that's the one position that you're supposed to be gargantuanly tall.
Exactly, yeah. And I had to do the switch to get my right foot on the bag instead of my left foot. And
right.
I was like, why couldn't I be left-handed?
Right.
Which my youngest daughter is. Maybe she'll play first base for somebody.
I think she could do that.
She could do that. Yeah. Two. She's two. She could start, you know.
I'm sure she's better than some of the first basemen, you know, out there.
There's probably. I know there's a 3-year-old that she could definitely play better than.
Yeah.
He's got three legs, so he runs really quickly. No, he doesn't. So here's my question for you, because it must have been really crazy, because you were like top pick, and we'll get to that in a second. But you had a lot of people looking at you in high school, right? Scouts and things like that.
Yeah. Before my junior year, there was a couple scouts that, you know, had started showing up, but they weren't actually allowed to talk to me until my junior year. It's a rule that goes in, you know, and they put in high school just so they're not bugging you when
right.
you're 14, 15 years old trying to get your homework done and you don't know what's going on really. And
yeah.
you think, you know, there's nothing out there in the world except for yourself. But,
what do you mean there's something outside myself? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what I was just saying, but it doesn't really matter. Yeah. So anyway,
sorry, I wasn't listening. I was thinking about me.
Yeah. So your junior year, they start showing up, and,
right.
and it's by the bundles, you know. And,
really?
And when I would pitch, there'd be upwards of 50 scouts, you know.
Holy mackerel.
You know, sometimes two and three scouts from each team.
Wow.
Because there's different levels of scouts. So
how does that work? Well, first of all, when did you know that you were going to be a pitcher? Was there ever a time that you played a different position and then switched?
Yeah, I played both in high school, and I wasn't really sure what they were projecting me as.
Both what? Pitcher and?
Pitcher and center field.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I played the outfield.
Oh, awesome.
So I wasn't sure. I just threw really hard off the
right.
mound and was a pretty good pitcher, but
right.
I could also swing it a little bit with the bat.
Right, which is something we're going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah. And, you know, I ended up getting drafted as a pitcher, but, you know, that was later on
right.
after all the scouting stuff. And
so how does it work with the pressures of pitching? When I look over here, guys, it's, you know, because I have my timer here for our segments. How does it work? Like, because the pressures must have been intense. I mean, I remember being in high school and, you know, just like doing homework and having the regular life, you know, and friendships and the quote unquote peer pressures, which I hated. I thought they were ridiculous.
Right.
But you also had the added pressure of having these people come and basically looking at you to go, okay, do we want this guy?
Right. I, to tell you the truth, I didn't have that outside of high school friendship life. I didn't go on the trips that my friends went on. I wasn't in Lake Havasu partying and having a good time. I was playing baseball.
Right.
On the weekends, I was playing baseball. And if I wasn't playing baseball, then I was reading about it or watching it or something like that.
Right. This is an amazing point, and I talk about this all the time, guys, that no matter what industry you're in, it's about the commitment and dedication to achieving a goal. And here is someone who knew what he wanted to do, very fortunate to know what he wanted to do at a young age, but pursued it and didn't get derailed. And so often, I think, and look, it's happened in my life, there are things that come in that derail you. And, you know, for me, it was about, I wanted a specific thing. I wanted to star on Broadway. I knew that that's what I wanted as a goal. And I did everything I could do to help myself get there. Not negatively. I wasn't stepping on top of people, but it was like, okay, I need to train. I need to focus. Because when you get to that point, you're going to be competing against people who are doing the exact same thing that you've done, and maybe even more.
Right. And it's not like you don't get the urges to go and do those things and go hang out with the friends and let the you know, the sport go for a little bit. But there's just something inside you that kind of burns and says, no, just keep going, you know, keep going. There's time for that.
Right.
There's time for the other part.
And so when the time came, you were drafted. And you were drafted as the number one pick for the Anaheim Angels.
Yes, right? I was the number one pick in 2005, which was the 37th pick overall in
That's
the draft, which
ridiculous.
There's about 5,000 people that are drafted
Holy mackerel.
Through high school and college.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's like that's unbelievable.
Thanks.
So well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate
How did that
it.
Feel that day?
I have the video, actually, from that day.
Do you?
It was the most exhausted I've ever been. I took off school that day.
Yeah.
I think they let me. It was
right.
All right. And we just sat around the computer and waited. And then when the Angels pick came up, we just went crazy. It was like a New Year's party.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Because I watched, you know, so I'll watch the NFL draft sometimes. You just see these guys, you know. And let me ask you this, because you look at, we're about a minute from our break, but you look at, and maybe we'll talk about this when we come back, but you look at those sort of things and the pre-negotiations. I want to talk about that when we come back.
Sure.
Because it's what is not done in my industry unless, you know, I guess it has been done. You know, you have offers for certain roles, but there's pre-negotiation with agents mm-hmm. and people that are looking out for you with various teams. And I want to talk about how that happens when we come back. And
okay.
then also I want to talk about your connection to the entertainment world.
Let's do it.
That's a little hint.
That's close enough. Yeah.
Is that close enough?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, good. All right, we're going to take our first break here. We'll be right back with more Star Power Hour with the amazing Trevor Bell.
You're amazing.
You're amazing. No, you're amazing. I'm going to do a high five again.
Ow. That was the right hand.
Oh, that was the right hand. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I hit the pitching hand. We'll be right back. Hey, can people follow you on Twitter?
I don't have a Twitter right now.
You don't? Oh, good.
No.
All right.
I don't anymore. I have an Instagram.
What's your Instagram?
Just Trevor Bell. Check it out.
Just Trevor Bell or
yeah.
Trevor Bell?
Trevor Bell.
All right. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Drowning in credit card debt can be stressful. No solutions in sight. Can't find anyone to give you any real advice. Thank goodness there's a website designed for any consumer to get out of debt. Visit thedebtlady.com. Thedebtlady.com features books, articles, media, and expert consultants to help you on your way to financial freedom. Thedebtlady.com, your new best friend.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals, log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So, what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4talent.com, and you can too.
Remember what life was like when you were a kid? When you had that zest for living and discovery, that total lightness of being. Can you still experience that today? Listen to Joy Awareness Radio with host Marlene Bork. Our show will invite you to be happier, to enjoy living a more conscious and exciting life. Learn from our guests and contributors, just like you, and make this your weekly stop to rediscover the capacity that you could be accessing. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Star Power Hour. This is James Barber on VoiceAmerica.com's Empowerment Channel with the amazing Trevor Bell. That was Trevor's theme music. So anytime he goes to the mound to pitch, they play that music.
Yep.
Which is which is amazing because it's actually the Bozo the Clown theme song.
It is. Why? Yeah. Why would they play that?
Well, you know, I did a little research.
Just setting you up.
Just setting me up. I do it every time I see an interview where they're like, what's with... Actually, he's on the mound and is like, there's Trevor Bell. He's in the stretch. He's winding up and... Okay, strike one. You know that Trevor Bell's grandfather was Bozo the Clown. Okay, he's winding up. Oh, what's he going to throw? A split. So your grandfather was Bozo the Clown in Chicago.
He was. He was the original Bozo the Clown. He started in the 60s and did his thing.
He's the OG Bozo the Clown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long did... Like, he did it forever, right?
25 years.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
25 years. Every day, that makeup, I think, took 3 hours.
Every day?
Every single day.
Holy mackerel.
Didn't miss. I don't think he missed a day.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And just put on a great show for kids, and there was a 6-year waiting list for the show.
To get on the show?
To be a part of the live audience. Mothers were getting tickets 6 years before they were thinking about having kids, just so that when they were born, they could be on the show. Yeah.
Holy mackerel. It's amazing that it really doesn't happen anymore. You know, there's so much... In the entertainment world, it's just flash in a pan, you know, sort of thing that it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So obviously your dad was raised in Chicago.
Yes, born and raised.
Born and raised.
Uh huh.
And then that must have been wild, as your dad was Bozo the Clown.
His dad.
Dad was Bozo the Clown, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, he said it was. There's some really cool stories of him, you know, maybe getting pulled over or something in Chicago by accident with the tail light out, and they pull over and they say, "Oh, Mr. Bell, oh, you can go. That's fine. Just tell your dad to get that fixed, and there's no problem."
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, they'd probably take my kid. could you imagine? Like, but I was thinking like your grandpa driving down the street in his Bozo the Clown thing. You know, hey, how's it going?
Just full outfit. Right.
Like as he's going, the music on the radio is. Did he have a clown car?
I don't know what his car was.
That would be cool.
Actually, I think it was a 67 Corvette.
Really?
Cherry red.
No way.
Side pipes. Yeah, I think he sold it for $2,000, and now it's worth maybe $550,000.
I know, dude. My father's first car, he had a 53 or 54 black Vette when they first came out with the hard top.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, why didn't you keep that thing? And he's like, I had to sell it to get my next car. I'm like, well, what'd you get? 2-seater Thunderbird. I'm like, why didn't you keep that thing? I had to sell it to get my next car.
Yeah, it's very...
I was like, killing me. I drive a Pinto. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to hook you up with that other thing.
What?
Well, the car thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Not on camera. My buddy Cleo's going to take care of him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he will.
Shh.
Don't tell anybody. Shh. Yeah. All right. So we were talking about... That's the connection, by the way, to the arts and entertainment world.
Right.
So, you know, that's my little stick into the arts and entertainment world. But, you know, look, in many ways, pro athletes are entertainers themselves. You know, one of the things that I want to have happen in my industry is to have you guys go through sort of like training, not only like physical training when you're at spring training, which we're going to talk about, but you go through like, you know, okay, you're in the press, you got to talk to the press this way, you got to talk to the, right? Is there stuff like that when you get into the major leagues?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's classes that we take on how to talk to the press, what type of questions to look out for.
Right.
You know, obviously the things off the field that you're supposed to stay away from.
Right.
It's just, you know, a bunch of stuff.
I kind of wish that there was some way that entertainers could have that. because, you know, we were talking about people that are, you know, go off the rails for whatever reason. And some, you have athletes that do that as well, but mm-hmm. it's more, you know, prominent in, you know, the arts and entertainment world. You got, people talk about Justin Bieber and it was a speech impediment. What it meant that way. Justin Bieber. Hello, I'm Justin Bieber. I'm going to drive my Maserati. I'm going to choose some wood. No, but the sad thing about it is that he just needs someone to help him. You know, cause he's, you know, getting in the drug thing. And it's a horrible thing. And if you just have somebody help him and guide him along the way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's
It really is. Because he's a talented kid. And, you know, hopefully something will turn out right for him.
Yeah, so, hopefully.
Yeah. So when you got drafted and the Angels picked you up, what then is the next process? We were talking about, you know, how the agents get involved and all that kind of stuff. Did you have teams that were, like, looking at you and you were like, okay, we think it's going to be this team or we think it's going to be that team?
Yeah, there was a few different teams that we were kind of leaning towards, right. Or they were leaning towards me.
Right.
But it's kind of a general thing. They don't like to say too much.
Right.
So when it came down to it and it was the Angels, that was super exciting because obviously
you're home.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
It was nice.
Dude, I remember watching it pitch. One of the days you were called up and you went down to Angel Stadium and it was incredible to see you pitch that day.
Yeah, it's a great stadium and the fans were awesome.
It's incredible. It was just so exciting. I put out on Twitter, I said, here's, you know, a dream becoming reality.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's just, I can't even imagine it. You know, I mean, I've sung in front of thousands of people, but you're like in front of tens of thousands of people, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And all over the country and all these different stadiums.
It's such a cool feeling. You really feel the admiration from 45,000 people.
Holy mackerel.
You know? And you can tell that they're all looking at you. It's just a different feeling. It's very strange.
Yeah.
But it's also very calming at the same time.
So what do you do? Let me ask you this. So when you're let's say you're about to pitch, like we'll get to the spring training because I think that's really, really interesting because I don't know what you got. I mean, I've been to some spring trainings, but I don't know really what goes into that. But when you're on the mound, like before I start to perform or something like that, is there a ritual or what do you do to calm yourself down? What's the deal? You just do it.
You know, a lot of guys, before they pitch, before they perform, get really stiff and kind of just put headphones in and don't talk to anybody.
Right.
They're in their locker. I don't really like that. I kind of like to stay loose, talk to guys,
right.
You know, laugh, maybe turn the music up, put some funny music on in the clubhouse, keep everyone really light. Exactly. Play the Bozo theme song. It's fine. But, right. You know, like if you're super stiff in the clubhouse before the game, then everyone else is like, okay, this guy's pitching today. Whoa, he's looking a little serious. No, you know what? It's cool. It's my job. It's fun.
Right.
I even go out before the game, sign autographs. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, half an hour before the game, just kind of relax. I can't eat very much, so I have a banana or something.
Right. So that's interesting, too. So is it you can't eat because you don't want to be on a full stomach, or is it just something?
I think that's the one part where I'm like, I'm a little nervous because I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But you always got to have that when...
Yeah.
In that type of situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've gone through rituals, you know, I don't want to call them rituals, but I got to the point where I have to eat before I perform.
Okay.
And when I was eating chocolate, which I don't do anymore because mm-hmm. I'm on this program, but I would literally, people like, oh, you eat chocolate and you sing? I'm like, yeah, like down in chocolate before I sing. And I think that was my way to calm myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the difference is that when I go and do something, if I'm doing a long running show, it's the same every night. So the outcome is pretty much going to be the same unless I drop a line or something like that, where you are facing new batters every day. You've got new surroundings every day. The audience for me changes, but my routine is pretty much the same,
mm-hmm.
which is why I started to move into other areas because I just, you know, after a while I did Beauty and the Beast on and off for 5 years, the same thing every day,
so cool.
You know? And it was an amazing experience, but my body started hurting because I was using the same muscles all the time. I wasn't changing my vocal patterns because I was singing the same stuff. So I get that because you have arbitraries thrown in every game.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, the mound could be different, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Our scouting, though, is by far some of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible. We have video from all angles, and we have charts with what guys are hitting in certain pitch counts and on what days, and it's
really?
Just unbelievable.
So it goes down to, like, if it's a 2-2 count, he can't hit this ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, there's. I mean, when you go out there, you're completely prepared for who's going to be in the box that day, And your job is to just get done what you know you should get done.
Yeah.
Know?
There's a documentary on the dude that ended up with the Red Sox, and he started getting to all the statistics and analytics and, you know, really made it a success. So tell me, like, once you got in and once you had that there and you headed to spring training, what is that like? I mean, what's your day? I mean, here's the cool thing, folks. He's leaving tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
To go, which is Thursday, the day that this airs, to start spring training.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you're going where, Arizona?
I will be driving to Arizona while this is on air.
That's crazy.
Yes.
That's crazy.
In my car by myself. If anyone wants to come with me.
I'll come with you.
I'll hop on. 210 to the 10.
I'll come.
5.5 hours, we're in AZ.
Really?
Let's hang.
That's it. Let's hang.
Let's hang.
Let's hang, baby. And he'll be wearing the Bozo outfit, which would be great. So if you see him going down the 210 or the 10 and you see some dude, you know, in a Bozo outfit.
With a red nose and red hair.
Yeah, that's probably Trevor.
Because mm-hmm.
that's what he pitches in. It also keeps him relaxed, from what I understand.
That was the whole point of the relaxed thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wear my grandpa's uniform and it's all good.
I love it. And the shoes. How do the shoes work? I mean, do you put cleats on the bottom of them? Because they're pretty big.
Yeah, it's just something that you have to practice.
Right. You could probably catch with those shoes, too, I bet.
Mm-hmm. I could probably hit with the shoe as well as a bat, too.
Yeah, totally.
You can play the whole game with the shoes.
So how is it? So seriously, how is it like when you get into spring training? What happens? Like, what's your day? Because yours, I imagine, is different than, say, a fielder.
Yeah, completely right. Different. We typically show up around 6:30, mm-hmm. which is normal, I think, for any other job. But we show up, eat, get some good protein in us for the day, get hydrated. We'll go out and do an hour-long stretch, uh-huh. an hour, like, of just stretching, getting the muscles going, doing agilities, getting our legs going, kind of warming everything up.
Right.
And then we're full bore out there working on fundamentals. It's back to the fundamentals. Every single year we're working on fundamentals in spring training. And before we start games, which is, you know, March 1st, somewhere around there,
right.
It's fundamentals for 4 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah. The little things, pickoff moves and how to hold runners on and just different things. The little parts of the game that you cannot mess up on when the game is on the line.
So your mind must be going like a mile a minute, because if you're sitting there on the mound and you've got, you know, say a runner first and third, the guy can potentially steal second, and you've got a batter on, you know, it's like, it must be like going continually. How is that? Or does it just become second nature because the fundamentals are
exactly.
so
exactly. You drill the fundamentals so much.
Deeper.
The fundamentals?
The fundamentals, because they're fun.
Yeah, you do the fundamentals.
Yeah.
And you drill those so much that it becomes second nature.
Right.
It's just like when those situations come up in the game, you don't mess up.
Right.
And that's how you become a professional, but you do.
You are a professional.
You don't mess up.
Yeah, you don't mess up.
Or no, you can mess up.
You mess up, but you know how to come back from it.
Right.
Right. It's like falling off the horse.
Yeah. It's all.
So one of the cool things that we touched on briefly is that you are actually a pretty phenomenal hitter. You have the ability to bat the ball, which notoriously pitchers don't do,
mm-hmm.
And oftentimes don't really even practice. Mm-hmm. I would imagine. So. For the National League, that must be a good selling point for people looking at you. And the amazing thing for me is that when I watch him pitch, and I grew up with baseball. Look, I grew up on the Phillies because I grew up out of Philadelphia.
Yeah,
you
know,
the Philly cheesesteak.
How you doing?
With Gary Maddox and Tugger McGraw and him hitting his glove on his leg all the time. But I would watch these guys bat, and there were a couple of guys like who could bat, but most of the pitchers just sucked.
Yeah.
And is it because they spend so much time batting, or pitching, or I mean, what is it? What's the thing there?
I think the joke around baseball is that every pitcher thinks he can hit, and every position player thinks he can pitch. It's kind of like the thing,
right,
like, because everyone used to play every position when they were in college and
right.
high school, and once you become a professional, you kind of hone your skills at that one thing. So yeah, I mean, you're not going to be as sharp 3 years down the line if you haven't hit and you've been in the American League like myself.
Got it.
So now, I mean, I've had a few at-bats in the major leagues
right.
and in the minor leagues. I'm not as sharp, but back in the day, I could swing it a little bit.
Yeah. All right, we're going to come back with more about that in just a second. This is our second break. This is James Barber with the amazing Trevor Bell. I'm going to do this. He also juggles. All right, stay tuned.
I can dance, too. Maybe,
really?
Maybe we'll do a dance. When
we should
back.
Do that. All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4Talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4Talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4Talent.com, and you can too.
Where can you find wisdom in the little conversations of every moment in a show? One that brings you golden nuggets that you can apply towards your burning desires, life, and success. Tune in to Little Conversations today with host Dan Deegan. Our program will provide amazing breakthroughs in your life and help bring you closer to your dreams. Set your internal conversation GPS and tune in to Little Conversations today, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We're changing lives through the power of little conversations.
Drowning in credit card debt can be stressful. No solutions in sight. Can't find anyone to give you any real advice. Thank goodness there's a website designed for any consumer to get out of debt. Visit thedebtlady.com. Thedebtlady.com features books, articles, media, and expert consultants to help you on your way to financial freedom. Thedebtlady.com, your new best friend.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, welcome back. This is James Barber with the amazing Trevor Bell. He just took a potty break. Had to go potty.
You don't have to tell him that.
Well, I have two kids. It's all about potty. I go potty all the time.
It's just potty.
But, you know, did I tell you when I shouldn't even say it? I'll embarrass her, my daughter, for when she's older. I have so many videos from when she gets married, like which I'm. She already is. She's had a boyfriend. She's been like 3 months old.
Whoa,
Jack, and they both said we're getting married, but not until we're 23.
Okay,
I'm like 23. All right, good. How about 40? That's when I'm like 40, because I'm putting bubble wrap around you in a microchip.
Right.
But I've got, she's, you know, I have a little video of her when she was really little. Mm-hmm. And she's like going, you know, little teeny tiny. She's like maybe 5 months old, 4 months old. And she's like, and I'm going, oh, my God. It started making me laugh. So I'm going to play that at her wedding, because she was pooping.
That'll be great.
That'll be great. She'll be really happy with me.
Best dad video of all time at a wedding.
Yeah, exactly. And then she'll throw a plastic apple at me that you taught her how to throw and beat me in the head. So we were talking about spring training. We were talking about, you know, all that kind of stuff. So once the games roll around, how does it work? Now, can we talk about where you are now? Because you've obviously moved from the Angels, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, that happens, like in my industry, it happens too. It's like, you know, you move from show to show to show to show to show, depending upon what the fit is.
Yeah.
So how does that work in terms of, like, you finding a team and making sure it fits? And tell me about where you are now. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. 2012, Angels kind of we went our separate ways.
Right.
I think there were some things there that just, you know, there was a lot of veterans on the team and like we were kind of talking about a lot of politics involved.
Right.
But hey, it was okay. It was totally fine. That
right.
happens. Not many. There's like five players in the history of baseball that have stayed with the same team.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, of course.
So Detroit signed me. Went over the Tigers for a little bit. And went to spring training to hang out with Jim Leland and Prince Fielder and Justin Verlander, all these big name guys.
Wow.
We went golfing together and it was a good time. And then I just kind of saw that with that situation, it was very similar to the Angels. with some of the things that were going on. So
let me ask you, because when I look at it, when I look at the industry, you have these guys who are there and they're like, these are the guys that are pitching. And they're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So is this, am I being correct in that, you know, I mean, you are top tier. But the problem is like, how do you, if you got five guys and there's only five guys, I'm just making this up, but there are five guys on the roster who are in, you know, in the majors right now and they're not going anywhere. You basically got to wait.
Right.
Right. Which isn't the best scenario.
Yeah. I was on that everyday flight or the weekly flight to Salt Lake City where AAA is and back, you know, I was getting to know the stewardesses very well.
Right.
But, you know, the great announcer for the Dodgers always says, he says, sometimes the kid just needs a new area code.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's something with any job.
Right.
You know, so you get so comfortable and sometimes you need new people to meet and hang out with.
Yeah.
And who knows what can happen from that.
Well, look at the Seahawks.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Russell Wilson, you think about that, and you think, oh, you know, and even people moving, Peyton Manning. It's like, oh, he's done, you know? No, he got a new area code.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and it's,
definitely,
you know,
the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't do as well as they should have, but, you know, certainly the Seahawks stepped up.
Because one team wins, that's why.
Exactly. Is that how it works?
I look at sports differently. You know, I don't ever complain about why or how come the player isn't. You know, it just doesn't, I don't have that reality. I have the other reality of, like, well, let me tell you why.
Yeah. No, I get it. And, you know, I talk about the analogy for me is that I kind of wish my industry were like a sport because I talk about it in terms of tennis because you can relate one-on-one, right? With a team sport, you've got all these individuals working as a team, as a collective.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say I used to take, you know, Pete Sampras and Agassi, right, when they were the top tennis players. I remember watching Sampras play for the first time at the U.S. Open, his first U.S. Open. But they're both unbelievable players. But on any given day, only one guy can walk off the court.
That's right.
A winner. And it's just that guy just had it that day.
Uh-huh.
And in the entertainment industry, there are so many arbitraries. It's like, well, guess what? His singing far outweighed the other guys. He acted better. It's completely arbitary.
Yeah, you should do the movie, the voice of the movies.
I do. It was a routine prison transfer. That's what I do.
That's amazing.
I do. Well, I do a lot of voiceovers.
That's incredible.
You know what's funny is I do a lot of voiceovers that are not my voice, like not this. I usually do things like, hello, darling, what are you doing? Or, Brian, hello, Brian. Brian, are you happy, Brian? Brian, little dynamo.
Say this one. In a world. Can you say that one?
In a world going wrong. In a world going wrong. I can also do, I'm not Jim Meshkeman, but I can do Jimmy Stewart. Or, today we sail into history.
Beautiful.
No, but I usually, like all my voiceover work, except for some of the Discovery or Nat Geo stuff where it's like, I did this one, the Ragged-Tooth Shark, the whole thing on the Ragged-Tooth Shark. But they're usually characters or voices that are not me. And they go in and like, okay, you know, because they think I'm British. Can you go in and talk? Yeah, so I have to go into the actual recording session as a British person. Other guys are like, you're not British. I'm like, yeah, no, I know. It's all right. Just, you know, let me read it. It was a root. He's on the mound.
That's great.
Yeah. So what happened? So then, you know, you obviously had those guys and you decided to have a different area code.
Yeah. And then
Detroit.
I was in Detroit.
Right.
And then I decided to have another area code.
Which is great.
It was just very similar to the previous area code.
Right.
You know, as far as what was going on in the situations that were being presented.
Right.
And not all negative, you know,
right.
Some it was just very similar.
Right.
And I wanted something different.
Right.
So I went home for a little bit, and then Cincinnati called and said, we want you.
And that's awesome.
That was definitely a different area code.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And
no,
they
it's awesome.
Have been nothing but amazing and truthful and just a great group of guys, front organization, front office is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have cool uniforms.
Great uniforms.
Yeah, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. Yankee Stadium.
Yes, I've pitched there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was going to be in New York when you were going to be. Yeah.
I missed the old one
by
a year, but it's okay.
But still, man.
Yeah.
Still. Uh-huh. But, I mean, with Yankee Stadium, it's still like I'm sitting there going, he's still a major league pitcher and he's pitching all these. You know, it's like I'm sitting here with you going, it's a dream for so many kids. And, I, since having met you and become, you know, friends, when I walk through parks or if I go through Riverside Park, there's a song that I sang called What You Call a Dream. And it's about this kid remembering when he was playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I see these kids with these dreams. And you've achieved it and actualized it. And it's really pretty awesome.
Thank you.
To have that.
Thanks. Yeah. So, kids, it takes hard work.
It does, man. Lots I mean, we talked work. About it. It was that was your dedication, your life since you were, you know, you could remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes that kind of, you know, power, I think, to rise up.
Right.
You know, and also, I think to stay sort of stable through it, you know, because there are. You know, there are things that come in. There's pressures that come in. There's big money that's thrown around. And, you know, and there's, okay, what decision do I make? Do I, like, I'm making a decision whether or not there's a job in New York that I just got offered. Do I go to New York because I have a family thing? And there are all these different pressures about traveling and moving where, you know, you're not encumbered that way right now with kids. But there's still the idea you're traveling all the time.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And, you know, whenever I talk to kids or people who ask me, how do you do it? I always just tell them, look, do what works for you, because what works for me might be different.
Right.
You know, and you can't tell another person to pitch like this or sing like this because you don't have the same vocal cords as they do.
Right.
You know, I have different muscles in my arm as they do. So it's what works for you. You find that. And that's the process that takes years to find is, okay, that didn't work for me. What do I do?
Right.
And you have fun with it. And that's it. And it's that whole process within itself is a game.
That's the point that I think is really awesome about it is that, you know, I want to ask you about that. So you look at it, do you look at it as like a challenge? Like, okay, well, this chess piece isn't fitting or that's not the best thing. So I have to do this one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where you hone your skills to become a professional.
Right.
And you get so good at minusing the negatives and adding things that make you better. But that's only through trial and error.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could watch games or talk to people as much as you want, but until you go out there and actually live it and do it, who knows?
Right. No, it's cool. It's that
this
life
is like
experience.
So inspirational, right?
It's inspirational.
Welcome to the Inspirational Talk with James and Trevor.
James and Trevor. Here we are. Instead of the Bozo music, which, by the way, may not be the real Bozo music. So if any of you guys out there know what the Bozo music is for Chicago, that's the one, because we were playing and he's like, I don't think that's the one. I'm like, I don't care. It's what I found on
YouTube.
Tweet
it in. Send it in. I want to see it. I want to hear it.
James Barber now is my Twitter handle, guys. And don't forget, go to jamesbarber.com and you can sign up for that newsletter and you can get all the info. I'll even send you Trevor's personal cell phone number. No,
what?
I won't. No, I won't.
Oh, boy.
I won't. Okay. I won't. I'm gonna give you every number but one, and then you have to figure out what you have to be like.
It might make my drive to Arizona a little more fun.
It would be
just
fun.
Receiving, hopefully, lots of phone calls.
Lots of them. Yeah. Hello. You just talk about. I want to play baseball. So what's the goal? What's the goal, like, for you? Like, if you had your... And I want you to answer this when we come after the next break. So think about it on the break.
Okay.
What... And you probably already know it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you create in your head since you were a kid to have as your goal? What are you shooting for? Because I think that's also important to tell people when they're trying to achieve their goals.
Yes.
You know, what it is that you want in your life, in your career. And, you know, even in, I think, because career affects your personal life, too. How is it that you're, you know, because you're so stable. You know, it's like you're just so calm and cool. And
I don't know about that.
I think so. It was a routine prison transfer. With Bozo the Clown. Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah. No, but we can talk about that. Let's talk about it.
Or we can talk about whatever you want, really.
No, let's talk about
it. It's your hour, man. It's the Star Power Hour with Trevor Bell.
Thank you.
Maybe you should co-host when you come back from
this season. I would love that. We'll just make this a dancing...
You said you were going to dance.
I'm not going to do it.
Dude, you're doing it when we come back. All right, stay tuned, guys. We're going to be right back with more Star Power Hour with the amazing Trevor Bell at James Barber on Twitter, jamesbarber.com, and send in your questions to news@jamesbarber.com. We'll be right back. Don't eat a donut. Don't forget, guys, I'm down to 192.8 from 227 pounds.
Whoa.
Don't forget it. All right, we'll be right back.
Drowning in credit card debt can be stressful. No solutions in sight? Can't find anyone to give you any real advice? Thank goodness there's a website designed for any consumer to get out of debt. Visit thedebtlady.com. Thedebtlady.com features books, articles, media, and expert consultants to help you on your way to financial freedom. Thedebtlady.com, your new best friend.
Create your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you actually did that dance over
crazy,
there.
Crazy, right?
You were crazy.
Exactly like MJ.
It was amazing.
Well, when you're in the minor leagues, you have a lot of time to practice the moonwalk in your hotel room.
I love it. But the cool thing is that you actually pulled out the glove, which I like.
Yeah. You didn't see the white socks. I had the white socks and the black shoes, too. They're in the car.
How did you get them? But what's amazing is you had them on for the dance, and then they were like magic in your car.
That's why they call me the king of magic.
King of magic. I love it. You're like, do you belong to the Magic Castle? Have you been to the Magic Castle?
I have, one time.
The Magic Castle, for those of you guys who don't know, it's basically a restaurant and a hotel here in Los Angeles that is dedicated to magic. And you have to be a member to go in or know a member and get invited. Mm-hmm. And it's a little freaky because they have magic shows in the castle. And it's kind of cool. But kind of like weird. There's no door. You have to like walk up to this wall.
Yeah.
And there's a little owl with these glowing red eyes. And you're like, how do you get in? They're like, just say open sesame. And you're like, come on. And you're like, open sesame. The door goes whoosh.
I thought it was abracadabra. No. Was it open sesame?
Maybe
I think it is Oprah. I think it's Oprah. Oprah said.
Maybe it's Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey.
I think that's what it
Oprah
was.
Oprah Winfrey. Yeah. Oprah Winfrey.
And then she pops out of the door and it's just crazy.
Woohoo! Hey! Here's a brand new car.
Yeah, so you guys want to go if you want to get a new car.
Yeah, you should go because Oprah's hosting a magic show with Neil Patrick Harris.
What are we talking about right now?
I have no idea. I'm going to build this show up so big that I can give people new cars. They're going to be like matchboxes.
That'd
like
be huge.
Yeah, but like little like toy cars because I can't afford that. Could you imagine? I'm going to get sponsored by a car company. Like Bob Smith's Cars presents James Barber's on the Star Power Hour.
Jeez.
I'll do the voiceover myself.
I think he'd be cool with that.
Yeah. So how did you learn to dance? I mean, was it the minor league stuff?
I think it was just born into me. Exactly.
I want to see you do it with the clown costume on.
I would love that.
It would be great, man.
Maybe I'll show up to spring training this year literally dancing into the clubhouse in my grandfather's costume.
Yeah, they won't. They won't rip you apart.
Loosen up the clubhouse a little bit.
Yeah, do they rip you apart for that a little bit? The bozo club.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of just rips everyone apart for everything. Yeah. That's it. Keeps it loose, you know.
You know, you do be serious one day. You're like, dude, that's not funny.
I didn't like that.
And it's not funny, man. I love my grandpa. I loved him so much.
Yeah.
And I still have his clown costume in my house. Dude, I can't. I was afraid of clowns. Okay.
Yeah, just go the opposite way.
Yeah, totally opposite.
Yeah.
Like, or go, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Bozo, what are you talking about?
I don't know who that is. I just have a tattoo all over my arm. What?
Yeah, you have a bozo tattoo?
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever saw that.
You didn't?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to.
I have that one.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I've seen that.
That's his sidekick, Cookie.
Cookie?
Yeah.
Cookie okay. Puss. You know, there's a commercial in New York for a company called Carvel, which is an ice cream thing. Mm-hmm. And it's this guy. And basically, they have Fudgy the Whale. And it's a whale. It's like a cake God. In the shape of a whale. Right? And so the guys log on, Wednesdays or Sundays at Carvel. And they show with Fudgy the Whale. Right? And they show a picture of this whale ice cream cake. And then he goes, oh, Cookie Puss. Oh. And all they did was they took the whale and turned it upside down and made like an octopus.
Oh, wow.
That reminds me of Cookie Puss. For those of you in New Yorkers, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Picks. So,
where were we at? What were we talking about right before the break? And then we just went off and talked about Cookie Puss.
I don't know.
We were talking about what?
Oh, what your dream?
Yeah.
Yeah. What your dream? Sorry for taking it off.
No, it's fine.
So that's my question to you. So what was in your head? Like, what is your ultimate goal? What is your dream that you? I didn't even say dream. What is the reality that you're going to make happen?
I think, it should be for most baseball players is to win a World Series mm-hmm. and win as many as you can.
Right.
I mean, look at Derek Jeter. Yes, he's had an amazing career, but he has six rings.
Right.
Michael Jordan, six rings. Those are the guys that you remember.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're amazing players, but to win those rings, that's the ultimate. That's the goal. That's the whole point of playing the game is to win have fun, win championships, and all the other things come along with that.
Yeah. That must be amazing. I don't know how those guys pick their hands up because those rings look like they're the size of, like, Mini Coopers.
They are.
It's amazing.
They are. They're crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like all those diamonds, encrusted stuff like that.
Yeah.
I could buy a house with that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll get one.
A couple of those guys sell them on eBay.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I want to go into curling, the sport of curling.
That's a great sport.
Yeah, because I can still do it at my age for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I haven't even watched the Olympics.
It's been awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't even watched it.
It's been really cool.
So do you think you're gonna reach those goals? I think you will.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And you have to keep shooting for those.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah. And it's cool because when I look at the team sport thing, you know, unlike, you know, like say tennis, you know, you're working with a group of guys that are working as a collective to reach that same common mm-hmm. goal. So it must be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, when you hit that.
Yeah, and that's, we talk about that when we get to spring training, we say, okay, what's our goal as a group?
Right.
We sit in the locker room and say, what's our goal? To win the World Series. We don't talk about it after this. We just know that that's what we're going to do, and we go out and try and do it.
Yeah. That's kind of cool because if you keep that in your head, like even if you don't talk about it continually, you know that that's sitting there underneath.
Yeah.
So everything you're doing is to be the best that you can be toward that.
Do you... Before you sing in front of a crowd, do you get nervous and then it stops right when you start singing? Or how does it work for you?
You know, it varies. There are times when if I'm doing a show for a long time, it becomes so relaxed and normal that I actually forget. Sorry, I was actually getting a phone call from Joel Zwick, the director. Joel Zwick, directing my Big Fat Greek Wedding as we were sitting here.
Nice.
Yeah, he was a guest on the show. So it becomes routine, but then there actually becomes a point because I'm doing the same thing that I actually, like I remember one time doing Beauty and the Beast, it was like 2 years into it, and I started to sing and I totally forgot what I was doing.
Wow.
I totally forgot the words. I'm going, oh my God. And when you have that feeling, when you go up, they call it going up on the lines, and you're in front of 2,000 people, you're like, what the heck am I going to do? And you just go blank. So once that happened the first time, there are times if I don't know the music well enough or I don't know the lyrics. And it's interesting because when you have an orchestra, they have the music in front of them. They're playing.
Yeah, they can see it.
Yeah.
Right.
When you're singing and you're doing concerts, usually you don't. So everything has to be memorized and in you. But that's where the training comes in. That's where the preparation comes in.
Fundamentals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And knowing those lyrics and knowing what they mean so that you can get the point across. But yeah, I still get nervous. I never forget when I was doing Jane Eyre as my first original starring role on Broadway. I was, during the previews of the show, I was totally calm. Opening night came when the reviewers there. And I don't know what changed. I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. So I texted. I didn't text. I emailed because I didn't have really texting at that point because the guy did.
This was
37. It was 37. It was the spring of 37.
Okay. Cool.
And I emailed an acting teacher of mine out here, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he said, you know what? Grab something physical, material, because it grounded you. And it did. So, yeah, I still get nervous. But what about you?
Yes and no. As soon as I step onto the mound, everything goes away. It's like my safe haven. It's my spot. When I step off, sometimes if someone hits a home run off me or something, I'm, you know, cussing myself out or I lose it a little bit. But as soon as I get on that dirt, that no one can touch me.
Yeah.
That's my little spot right there.
Yeah. It's like a little piece of heaven.
It's like a private island.
There you go. I like my own private island.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe that happens like once the show starts rolling. And, you know, if it's the first time a show is happening, there's a little nerves. But once the show starts rolling, I'm fine.
Right. Beautiful.
So thanks for sharing your little island with me.
Yeah, we all need our own little island sometimes.
Well, let me ask you this. As you're driving, what are you going to listen to? What's your music?
I listen to everything. I haven't really got into country. That's
really?
The one. I'm sorry,
dude.
People that love country.
I love country.
I'm from LA. We have, I think, maybe one or two country stations.
What are you talking about? Get SiriusXM satellite radio.
I don't know what they are.
Right.
But can you guys hear that beeping?
Yeah. It's a truck backing up.
Yeah. We live in LA.
They're
we're here in LA,
me.
And there's trucks and
there
things everywhere.
Actually, we live in the United States, and there are trucks in the United States.
No way.
There are.
But there's like backing up trucks with beeping, loud beeping sounds all over.
Yeah, it's either that or a bomb that's going to go off. The NSA is listening to my conversation. So what are you going to listen to? You just play? You just put on whatever?
You know what? I like Bon Iver. He won Best New Artist in 2012, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
He's really great.
What kind of music is it?
It's like a alternative, I don't even know.
Right. Bon Iver.
Yeah.
I have to look. I don't even know.
It's awesome.
Really?
But my favorite music is, I grew up on The Doors, the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, yeah. Janis Joplin, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Dude, but you're like 12.
No, I'm 27.
I know, but still.
No, but my dad, you know, raised me on that music, and that's what I love. I can play that all day long. That's the Pandora that I will put on my way to Arizona tomorrow.
That's awesome.
The spring training. Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Skynyrd,
you know,
really?
Yeah, Rolling Stones, whatever.
That's my music too, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, especially with your
pleasure.
Time frame.
Thank you so much.
Anytime, will you come back?
What?
Will you come back and be on the show?
I would love to come back.
Maybe I should know. Can I check in?
Maybe I won't be late this time.
That's fine. They don't know that. He was late. I mean, he's a big star.
Today.
Come on.
Not
he's
true.
Packing. He's getting ready to go to Arizona, to AZ.
Yeah.
To pitch.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do like a call-in from the road. Like, you know, once you're out, if you have time.
That would be
call in and do
I
like a check-in.
I would love that.
That'd
Let's
be
do
awesome.
That. I want to hang out with you guys.
All right.
Everyone here.
Let's do it.
And come out to spring training.
That's what I was thinking about, too. I can get a little remote crew and come out.
It's so much fun.
I will love it.
You get to meet the players. It's up close. You know, it's not a gigantic stadium where it's impossible to park. And it's just fun. You can see 10, 15 different teams in 3 days.
Dude, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I'm gonna come out there. And Hudson can probably get on there and throw a ball or two.
Let's do it. I'll throw some more plastic apples with her.
You got it, bro.
I'll be in Goodyear, Arizona. So, yeah.
Go down and see Trevor Bell in Goodyear, Arizona. Pitching for the Cincinnati Reds.
Cruise down.
Cruise down on the highway. On the highway with Trevor Bell.
Yes.
All right, guys. Man, thanks so much.
This is a great venue right
Isn't
here,
it?
Too.
Yes, absolutely. I forgot to mention, I'm getting so excited. We're at the Celebrity Center International Garden Pavilion again. I keep forgetting to mention that. You know why? Because we're on camera and we have a beautiful set and it's up there
yeah,
and it says
sweet.
It.
Yeah.
But don't forget, and I'll put it out there.
It's beautiful. I'm going to go for a little walk after this.
It's beautiful around here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You got to come and take a look.
Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks
all right,
for
guys.
Having me.
Yeah, tune in next week and we'll get all the news up. This is James Barber on the Star Power Hour with the amazing Trevor Bell at the Celebrity Center International Garden Pavilion for VoiceAmerica.com's Empowerment Channel. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Thanks again for tuning in this week. James Barber will be back next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com, the arts and entertainment social network on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now go check out our site, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.